We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through a dark, fallen, dying, broken, decaying world. Lord, speak to us through your word. If there's ever been a time when we need your word, it is today, it is now, it is this moment, Lord. As we celebrate Christmas and then as we embark on a new year, Lord, we need you more than ever. Guide us, Lord. Help us to think. Help us to walk with you, Lord. Help us to share you with others, Lord. Cover and keep us and protect us, Lord. We need you so much. We need your grace so much, Lord, today than ever before. Speak to us now through your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I did say Luke 2 and 8, correct? All right. So let me try and get there myself. As we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, just a couple of things as we want already set straight, that we celebrated the 25th of December, but we know that is not the actual date that Christ was born. Somebody say amen. But that is the date that we celebrated. According to the Jewish calendar, according to our calendar, the birth of Christ happened sometime in the fall. We're not exactly sure of the date, but we do know that it happened. Somebody say amen. And then we have Jesus Christ, his mission. He was born to die so that you and I could be, as a song said, could be free and have freedom so that we could be saved. Did I say Luke 2 and 8? Is this on? No, it is not on. Luke 2 and 8. Amen. Is that better?
Better.
My subheading said, the angels announced Jesus to the shepherds. Verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Make a note, you have nothing to fear with God on your side. Make a note. We have no reason to be afraid of God. Somebody say amen. Especially since Jesus Christ has reconciled us to God. First thing the angel told him is don't be afraid. Good tidings of great joy, which should be unto all people. Verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Underline this day if you haven't already. We don't know exactly what day this day was, but we do know that it was a day when Christ was born, which is Christ the Lord. Make a note, Savior is someone who is delivered, who delivers or rescues you. Christ is the Messiah. Lord is Master. So it says in verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, someone to rescue you, which is Christ, who's the Messiah, which is the Lord. The Lord is your Master, the one who makes decisions for you. Wow. Just want you to reflect. Is Jesus your Lord? Is that the one who makes decisions for you? Who makes decisions for you? Who is your Master? Remember, we all are worshiping something. We all are in bondage to something. Something floats our boat. Something moves and leads and guides us. If I were to take a poll, most of us would say it's God, but if you look deep in your heart, is God the one who really makes decisions for you? Are you and I living like Christ is our Savior and our Lord? Amen? That's just something to think about during this Christmas season. Is, you know, it's all commercialized and everything, but that's not what it's really about. And we thank God the greatest gift that was ever given to us was Jesus Christ. So I said we know that Jesus Christ was not born on the 25th. Make a note, Jesus is the most controversial historical figure ever. No other historical figure causes more controversy than Jesus Christ, because he claimed to be God and he proved it. So as we talk about his birth, then you say, and people have told me, as I'm out witnessing that, you know, Jesus Christ is just a figment of your imagination. He didn't even exist. You don't even know when he was born. So that might be true. But we don't know exactly when he was born, but we do know that he died and that he resurrected. So you're sharing Jesus Christ with the family and with friends or whoever listens, co-workers, just let them know. The birth is excellent, but it's the death that set us free. When they want to start with Jesus Christ, have them start with the resurrection. Now, if he didn't resurrect, that's a problem. So I was just, as I was going through, I'm doing too much already. I want to let y'all know I'm doing way too much already. I got three messages in one. 10:35, we got to stop, okay? I got three messages in one, Sister Kathy. I got three in one. But at 10:35, as we get as far as we can, 10:35, we got to stop. All right? Okay, so I just want to share with you some of the circumstantial evidence of Jesus' resurrection. As much as this is about his birth and when he was born, but we got to understand that if he didn't resurrect, all this is for nothing. He could have been born, but if the resurrection didn't happen, then none of this makes sense at all. So first off, we'll start with Jesus split time in half. The evidence that we have, he split time in half. We're in what year this year? 2017. What's the two letters behind it? And before that, it was B.C. Okay? So Jesus split time in half 2017 years ago. That's why it's 2017. According to the Jewish calendar, the year is, it's actually the sixth of Tevis, 5,778. All right, because they are still waiting for the Messiah, because they don't recognize, some do, but most don't recognize that Jesus Christ was the Savior of the world and was God in the flesh and the Messiah. They were expecting someone to come and fight the Romans because they were under heavy persecution. They said, we need some help. We didn't come for someone to talk about love and forgiving enemies. We need to start a war. Jesus said, no, I'm not here for a physical war. I'm here for a spiritual revolution. And so they didn't accept him as the Savior until he resurrected. And then things changed. So, Pastor, what changed? Okay, here's one of the things that changed. They began to attend church and no longer the temple. Church on Sunday, not the temple on Saturday. Make a note, they had practiced the temple. They had gone to the temple for 3,761 years. And then Christ came, split time in half, resurrected, and they start going to church. You don't do something for 3,000 years and then all of a sudden haphazardly just change it. You don't just change your customs overnight because of a lie. 5 weeks after the resurrection, Jesus Christ had 10,000 followers without social media. No Facebook, no Twitter, none of that. 5 weeks after the resurrection, he had 10,000 followers. Here we are, 2,017 years later, and we're in a church. Somebody say amen. And then they change from circumcision to communion. All the men said amen. Thank you, Lord, for that alone. Then he started having baptisms. I mean, in the Jewish culture, this was a social earthquake. Jesus Christ changed the game and turned everything upside down. That's the circumstantial evidence. You think about it in the first century. We were observing, and we see Caesar and his Roman soldiers, and they're feeding Christians to the lions. And then we see the cowardly disciples, talking about a crucified carpenter from an obscure village who had resurrected from the grave. Who you think would last longer? Let me say it again. You got Caesar, you got his army. You got a crucified carpenter with a bunch of cowards. Who's going to last longer? And now today we name our kids Peter and Paul, and we name our dogs Caesar and Nero. If you would have took a poll, they would have said, man, these guys would be gone. Give them, these guys would be wiped out in a matter of time. Now we have millions, not millions of Christians. You can't ignore those facts. As we read the Old Testament, we're studying on Wednesday nights, it talks about the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Perizzites, the Ammonites, the Babylonians. They all faded out. They all faded out. Let me share something with you. Who's working today? Who's that back there? JL, let's go to Deuteronomy 6 through 9. And family, just make a note. This is why. Start at six, JL, then we'll go through 9, at verse 6. Deuteronomy 6 and 6. First, God tells the Jews, he says, "And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart." Verse 7. "And you shall teach them diligently unto your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." God said, you got to teach the word to your kids. That's why they're in year 5,778, because they're still teaching, because they never let go of God. And we know that if we don't teach, if we don't come to church, all it takes, take a couple weeks off of church and watch how you start to slide. Stop reading your word and watch how your mind just starts reading everything else and you start to slide. It doesn't take long. God said you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand and shall be as frontless before your eyes. Verse 9, JL. "And you shall write them upon the posts of your house and on the gates." God said, you write the word down. Say, what do you, why do we have to write the word down? Because, JL, take us to verse 20, 6:20. God commanded the Jewish people to keep his word. He said, because it's going to come a time when your son is going to ask you, why do we go to church? Why you read the Bible all the time? Why you listen to that gospel music? Why you talk about God all the time? It's going to come a time. Parents, somebody say amen. Kids, why you got to go to church? Why we got to? Because, next verse. "You say unto them, when we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. We were Pharaoh's bondmen. And the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon the Egypt and upon Pharaoh and upon all his household before our eyes." The next one. "He brought us out from there that he might bring us in to give us the land which he swore unto our fathers." Let's see, what's the next one say? And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to reverence the Lord our God for our good always." It's not for God. It's not for God that we live right. It's for our good. God commanded them that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. Your kids are going to ask you, because the kids just think that they were born in a house. They don't understand what it took to get the house. They just think the refrigerator automatically fills up with food. Just think that everybody has a car and clothes. And you have to tell them, God provided for us. God has provided for us. We didn't do this on our own. We can't do it on our own. You get a cold, you can't even, it can't even cure the common cold. We can't do it on our own. If God didn't give us the strength, we couldn't go to work. That's why we go to church, and we got to come back, and we got to thank God because of all that he's done for us. That's why. Amen. That's why we read our words so our mind don't get diluted and polluted. Where the church is brainwashing. Yes, your brain needs to be washed. All that filth you're putting on it through social media, you need to wash it with the word. Get it cleaned out. That's why we study. That's why we read the word. Because God has been so good to us. And they kept that in their culture. And that's why you still have a Jewish nation today. That's why you still have a Christian nation. 2017 years later, because God said, go ye therefore and make disciples, teach others about what Jesus Christ did, how he resurrected. The evidence is there. We're not going to even talk about the changed lives of skeptics like Paul and Thomas and James and you and I. Not to mention those of us who've been fortunate enough to go and visit and step into that empty tomb, which is still there in Jerusalem. Then we talk about the other disciples that died because they wouldn't stop talking about Jesus Christ. And you say, well, people die for stuff they believe in all the time. That is true. But the difference is the disciples, they would have died for a lie, because if anybody would have known that it was a lie, they would have known it was a lie. Nobody truly in their right mind would die for a lie. And you talk about James, they cut him up with a sword. You think I would have got cut up with a sword? I would have said, wait, hold up. Peter and them are tripping. Okay, we hid the body right over there. You can go and find it. I'm not going to get cut up with a sword. The other ones got killed with arrows and a stone. Peter was crucified upside down. And the difference is because people die for stupid stuff all the time that they believe in, but they actually believe it. Right. The difference is the disciples would have died and they knew it was a lie. That's a big difference. Big difference. Amen. All right. So now let's talk about a little bit of the prophetic evidence. Let's go to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah was written 700 years before the birth of Christ. 700 years before the birth of Christ. Did I say Isaiah? Let's start with 7 and Isaiah. I say 7 and 14. Isaiah 7 and 14. If you dare, say amen. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give, underline give, the greatest gift ever. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God is with us. This is 700 years. This is prophetic evidence. 700 years before Christ is born, Isaiah is writing about a virgin birth. Turn to Isaiah 9 and 6. So this wasn't just some made up story. This was already prophetically written about. Man, this looks very familiar in Isaiah 9 and 6. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is. Write it down. The greatest gift ever. You can't earn it. You can't earn it. It's a gift. It's given. Salvation is a free gift from God. And I'll show you that in just a minute. But it's just like, how many of you are going to give somebody something for Christmas? You're going to give somebody something. You're not, Jay? You're not giving your dad anything? I got you covered. Okay, I see. And either they take it or they don't. They don't have to take your gift. They do not have to receive it. God will not force us to receive the free gift of salvation. He won't do it. Somebody can try and give you something. You tell them, no, thank you. Sometimes it comes with strings attached. Ladies, you would be wise to tell them, no, thank you. And guys, Ivy, yes, you'd be wise to tell her, no, thank you. When she gives you the gift, although it's wrapped up, Ivy, you're going to see the strings hanging from the bottom. You can see it. Trust me, it's coming with strings attached. So you don't have to take the gift. And we see it in society today. People, I don't need God. I'm good. I'm okay. I'm all right. That's your stuff. That's your thing. But what they can't deny is that Jesus Christ resurrected. That he is the way, the truth, and the life. And it is a gift from God. And I'm going to show you that in just a minute. Okay, here we go. For unto us, verse 9 and 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Wonderful in the Hebrew, marvelous thing. Counselor and advisor consult together. Underline wonderful counselor. It's one thing about a counselor. Many of us have seen counselors and interacted with counselors before. Sometimes we get the idea that God just speaks to us. But with him being a wonderful counselor, it's a dialogue that goes back and forth. Tell God everything that's going on in your heart. Not that he doesn't know, but just come clean. That's what a counselor does. They talk with you. They don't talk after you. You have to talk to them so they know what's going on. He's the wonderful counselor. And the good thing about God, he ain't going to go spread your business all over the church or all over the city or all over the workplace. Somebody say amen. He's the mighty God, the everlasting, which means perpetual, continuous existence, Father, producer, the Prince of Peace. Underlying peace, he's the Prince of Peace. Peace meaning completeness, sound, safety, contentment. The Prince, God is the ruler of completeness. You're not going to be complete without God. Until you're resting in God, until you're content in God, you're not going to be complete. It's not going to come from another person. It's not going to come from another house. It's not going to come from another car. It's not going to come from a bigger bank account. It's not going to come from a divorce. It's not going to come from a marriage. It's not going to come from a kid. It's not going to come from when you kick your kids out the house. It only comes through God. It's not. It's all internal. Has nothing to do with external things. They'll provide temporary peace, but not the completeness, the soundness, the safety, and the contentment that's found in God every day. Verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Somebody say amen. Underline that if you don't have it underlined. There will be no end of God's rule and his peace. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it. Underline orders. Always God is a God of order. We know he's a God of order, specifics, detail. To establish it with justice, with judgment and justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal, the passion, the intensity of the Lord of hosts will perform this. It's your prophetic evidence. It's already been written about. Was no surprise to the Jewish nation when Jesus Christ claimed to be God. He's quoting scriptures. It had already been written about. They could go right to Isaiah. They knew what he was talking about. Thousands converted. Even to us, the promise is made. To them first and then to us. So what does that mean for you and I? All right, here we go. This is the third part of the three-part message. Ephesians chapter 2. So what does it mean for you and I today? Okay, Pastor, Christ was born. He resurrected. It was prophetically written about, but what about with me? What should Christmas mean to me now? Ephesians 2 and 13. Well, let's look at 2 and 8 because I've been talking about that. 8 and 9. 2 and Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace, amen, thank God for the grace, the favor of God, the loving kindness of God. It's the character of God. For by grace are we saved through faith. Make a note, the grace comes before the faith. If there's no grace, there's no faith for us. We have faith because of the grace. For by grace are you saved through faith and not that of yourselves. Make a note, we cannot save ourselves, family. We could never be that good that God would say, oh, you're so good. You rescued yourself. We could never be that good. But on the flip side of that, we could never be so bad that God's grace couldn't save us. Somebody say amen. Amen. For by grace are you saved through faith and that not of yourselves. It is the what?
Gift.
Underlying gift. It's a gift of God. So you have a choice of whether you receive it or not. You don't have to take the free gift of salvation. You don't have to, but God's given it. When we stand before God, we will be without excuse. We can't tell God, you don't know what it was like. Jesus said, yes, I was down there. I do know what it was like. You don't know what it's like to be betrayed and see family members die. And Jesus said, actually, I cried when my friend Lazarus died. I got betrayed. I got stabbed in the back. And then they killed me.
Right.
I feel your pain. We'll never be able to tell God that he doesn't know what it's like to walk this earth. The temptations and the frustrations and the distractions. God said, I had to deal with them all too. Not of works, verse 9, lest anyone should boast. For we are his creation, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained, prepared that we should walk in them. We are God's workmanship. We are his creation, prepared for us. It's a path that God has prepared for us to walk in. All right, but here's where I was trying to go. Verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes, once you were far off, you've made off or made near by the blood of Jesus Christ. There was a time we were separated from God. But because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we're now back together with God. Those of us who've received the free gift of salvation. Verse 14, for he is our peace. There's that word again. Don't look for peace anywhere else. Run to God for your peace. Stay connected to God for your peace. Who had made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Jesus said he became, verse 14 is saying, Jesus became the door and he broke down the wall. There was a wall that separated us from God. Jesus broke down the wall and then he stood up as the door. So now we can go through the door to God through Jesus Christ because the wall was broken down because of Jesus Christ. That's pretty, that is beautiful. Tore down the wall and became a door. Say, here I am. Now you can go through. That's what Christmas means to us. What does it mean? Because now we have a door to God. Before there was a wall and we couldn't connect to God. Now we go through Jesus Christ to God.
Yes. Yes.
Look what he says in verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, which is the hostility, the opposition, and hatred. He got rid of all that. Because we didn't care about God. Mankind could care less about God. We don't naturally care about God. We naturally care about ourselves. Before Adam and Eve ate the fruit, we were God conscious. But after the fruit, we became self-conscious. It's about me now. And that's why the wall went up. Because now it's all about me. Then Jesus Christ comes, breaks the wall down, opens the door. Now we can get back to God and we become God conscious through Jesus Christ. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances for to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace. So Jesus Christ fulfilled the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now we have peace with God. Verse 16, and that he might reconcile, underline reconcile. Reconcile means to bring us back in harmony with God. So we've been brought back in harmony. We're on the same page. We have the same tune. We're playing the same song as God. Now it's I love you, Lord, as opposed to I hate you, God. And it's just as good as our what are you guys, like a praise band or whatever y'all are? What you guys, it just sounds so good. Amen. That's the harmony. I mean, that's how, through Jesus Christ, that's how we sound with God now. We sound good. We're back in the notes are all the same. We're clicking with God. It's a beautiful harmony now. But before Christ, it was not. It was hostility. It was opposition. And it was hatred. But Jesus Christ has reconciled, verse 16, that and that he might reconcile both God in one body by the cross, having killed the hostility and the opposition and the hatred thereby. Verse 17, and he came and preached peace to you where you were afar off and to them that were close, even to those that were close to God. He brought them closer, and those that were far off, he brought us close to God. Verse 18, for through him, we both have access by one spirit unto the Father. Somebody say amen. 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 What does Christmas mean to you and I? It means that we have access back to God. Jesus Christ was born to die so we could get back to God. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to be reconnected to God through Christ. So let me finish this up. Verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. All right, let me say that again. Maybe you guys are thinking about Christmas dinner right now. But now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. You have a new family. Now we're fellow citizens with the saints. We are saints of God. We're not angels, but we are saints. And we're part of the household of God. I don't know if that's the best news I've heard all day. And are built, but look, and it's not just because of things, but look how it's set up. Verse 20, and are built upon the foundation. Okay, what is your foundation? All right. Here's the foundation of Christianity. Because when you talk to others, other religions and all that, ask them, what's their foundation? What are you guys built on? What are you built on? Well, it was a guy who went out in the woods and he had a vision and he came. Oh, that's what you're built on. Okay. What are we built on? What are Christians? And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So we have the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the foundation. He's the cornerstone. Then we have the prophets. Then we have the apostles. And then there's us. Let me say it again. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone when he resurrected. Then you got the prophets who talked about him coming. Then the apostles who were there with him. And then you have us. That's the foundation of Christianity. And all can be researched. That's why Jesus Christ is the most controversial historical figure ever. Because he claimed to be God. He claimed to be the chief cornerstone. God in the flesh. Verse 21. In whom all the building fitly framed together. Come on now. Where are my contractors at in here? You know what a building, you know what a frame. God is saying, I'm that cornerstone. You know if they build a skyscraper, and if it's a half an inch off at the bottom when they build it, by the time it's all the way up, it's 12 feet leaning to the side.
Or it fell down.
That's right. I forgot I got the scientists here today. That's why, family, when you're building your life, you got to make sure what is your foundation. Because I'm telling you, For too long, we've built our foundation. It's not even a half inch, but it's about a half a foot off. And then we continue to grow and get older, and we realize we got a whole bunch of stuff going on that's unnecessary. But you got to go back to the foundation. If your foundation is shaky, your whole life is going to be shaky. It's built. Your life is built on something. I'm telling you. It's built on something. You're putting all your hopes, all your eggs in some basket. Your life is built on something. That is your foundation. And if it's not Jesus Christ, then it's not going to be. Because remember, they talked about the man who built his house on, two men who built their house on a foundation. One sand, one on a rock. The winds and the storms came to both houses. You're not going to get away from winds and storms and rains and the tempest. You're not going to get away from that. It's going to happen to all of us, but your foundation on Jesus Christ will allow you to stand and overcome because it's real.
Yes.
Verse 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth, and a holy temple in the Lord. Verse 22, in whom you also are built together for an habitation. God used to be in a temple. Now we're the temple. God built us. God prepared us to be a habitation of God through the Holy Spirit. Now God's Holy Spirit wants to live in us because of what Jesus Christ has done. That's the best gift we could ever. God living inside of us. Imagine that. For God to know everything about us and to still love us. Let me say that again. For God to know everything about us, love us enough to die for us, and then say, I want to live inside of you. That's a Merry Christmas. That's the greatest story ever told. We're going to stop right there. Let's just bow our heads. So, Lord, we just want to pause and just say thank you, Lord. As we're going to be with family and friends, and we've already had the Christmas parties at work. And what does it really mean? What did Jesus Christ really do? He was born to die. If he wasn't born, he couldn't have died. He couldn't have resurrected. He couldn't have rescued us. So we see in your word that he was born. We know he was crucified and resurrected on that third day according to your word. Was already written about by the prophets before he was even born. The evidence is all around us. 2017 years later, the evidence is still around us. All around us. We're standing in a church today because of the resurrection. Then your word told us how Jesus Christ brought us back in harmony with God. We don't have to fight against God. We accept the free gift of salvation. Or we reject it. But either way, God's offering it. Maybe someone's here this morning and say, Pastor, I've never accepted the free gift of salvation. I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I'm rescued. I don't know if I have a connection with Jesus Christ. Thought it was just a story or just something made up or something people would say, but I realize now that Jesus Christ actually died for my sins to bring me back to God. I don't have to be in opposition to God. Matter of fact, I'm not even forced to accept Christ. It's a free gift. Maybe that's you. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and you want to do that this morning, I'd love to pray for you. Let me see your hand. Just elevate your hand. I'd love to pray with you this morning. Pray with you and pray for you. That's the greatest gift you could ever give yourself, is to get back in harmony with God. Maybe you're here and you just say, Pastor, I need to rededicate my life. I'm not going to wait to January 1st, but God, I got to get back connected to you through Jesus Christ right now. If that's you, just quietly in your heart, just ask God to forgive you of your sins and reconnect you back to him. You don't know, I don't want you to come up for that. That's between you and God. That's personal. Just ask God to reconnect you with him. Ask for the forgiveness of your sins. God talks to you heart to heart. Maybe you're here and you're looking for a church home. You've been visiting and you say, Pastor, I want to make it official. This season, I'm going to go ahead and become a part of South Bay Abundant Life Church. If that's you, elevate your hand. You're looking for a church home, somewhere you could just learn about God and stay connected to God and God's people. Be encouraged weekly to fight the good fight of faith. If that's you, elevate your hand. Lord, how we love you, how we thank you. How you challenge us each week, Lord, not to just be business as usual, but to really consider our relationship with you, to draw closer to you, to get into your word. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We bless you. We accept the challenge today not to be business as usual, but to receive the free gift, Lord, and we thank you for that free gift. We couldn't earn it. It's not of works. We can never boast about saving ourselves. We recognize you as the foundation of our life. We stand on you, Lord. We stand on your word. And we thank you and we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet. Give someone a hug. Especially greet our guest. And you are dismissed.
But I don't know how to get it.